For over 10 years, we've been bringing you killer metal music and frank discussions about heavy metal. Wait, who the hell is Frank? You are tuned into MSR Cast, brought to you by Mainstream Resistance. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek and Sean the Metal Pigeon. Keep it metal.
Slaves keep building when they die. Welcome, everyone, back to MSRcast. I am one of your hosts. I am Kerry the Metal Geek. And along with me today, I have the drummer from John Tichy. I almost said your name incorrect after you just told me, from the band Wheel to Run. How are you doing today, sir?
Doing okay. How about you, man?
Good, good. We're just surviving, you know, playing as much metal as we can to get through it.
Awesome. Yeah. Same.
So let's talk about a little bit about the history of the band. How did the band form?
So the band, we all kind of met each other in school, and the band, we were all friends, and actually I was in another band with our main front man, Evan. I was the drummer of his other band. It was a progressive metal band. But at the same time, he had this like folk metal project he had always had ready to go. And he's actually the one that introduced me to folk metal. So basically, after he graduated, he wanted to just go ahead and take some money he had saved up and just release a folk metal album, just to have an album out. There was actually, at the time, no intention of like actually continuing as a band. We just wanted some music released. It's kind of like a, you know, personal self-discovery kind of thing. I don't know. But once we got into the studio, things kind of clicked a lot more than we thought it would. And then we decided to just, you know, keep being a band. But yeah, personally, I was, just in another band with Evan. Wayne had answered an ad that Evan had up in a previous iteration of the band that didn't really continue on. He saw a bulletin post at the school. So whenever Evan needed another guitar player, he just said, "Oh, I have this other guy that, you know, needed who reached out to me about this earlier. So I'll just try to reach out again." And he enthusiastically joined. Mm-hmm. And I actually knew Dan through a friend. So that's kind of how we all kind of met together.
So it started as a one-off little project and turned into a full-fledged band.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
How long ago was that? How long have you guys actually been together?
We went in the studio shortly after spring of 2012. And I think we released the album later that year. So we're coming up on 8.5 years now.
Time flies, man.
it does.
So how do you think, let's talk about your drum style a little bit. How do you come up with your drum patterns when you get one of these songs?
Previously, the drum like skeleton pattern, like the idea of where, we've wanted to take the song had already been demoed out. Mm-hmm. Just like with some scratch, you know, MIDI drums. And what I've done in the past is just take those and embellish and then adjust if I feel like something is needing something, if something needs to be changed to make it more interesting or more compelling. Later on, like Bale and this new material we're working on, I've been given more just like a scratch guitar track, and I've been able to just make a part completely from scratch. And generally it's, you know, it's just what fits the vibe. If something grooves, I'll try to throw in a groove in there. It's like this here needs a blast, this here needs a groove, this needs fills, this needs, you know, a tom, you know, caveman groove or something. it's just generally that, and then I kind of like put together the idea with some sticking and just plan out with that, and things kind of evolve over time. Like, you know, I'll play a part for over and over and over, and as I do it, I'll just accidentally discover cooler things to do to embellish what I've already made. Mm-hmm. And that actually has happened on older material too. Like there's parts in songs from the first album that I play different live now because I've had some more fun with it and had more time.
Right. I was going to ask you about that. Yeah. Discovering new ways to play the same thing over and over and just make it a little bit better each time.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's a way to keep it fresh, I guess.
Sure. What are some of your influences when it comes to drums?
One of my biggest influences can't be denied as Martin Lopez of Selen, previously Opeth.
Yes. Phenomenal.
He is. And actually, I met him on 70K, which was awesome. And I was a big Dream Theater fan growing up, so Mike Portnoy is also an influence. But alternatively, I grew up listening to a lot of like not metal stuff. So like Carter Buford from Dave Matthews Band is a big influence on me. Mm-hmm. And I also really, really dig, name is slipping me, Sean Reinhart.
Oh yes.
Sean Reinhart. Rest in peace.
Yes, that's right.
His playing. Yeah. His playing is phenomenal.
Very jazzy and really, different.
Yeah. And that's actually something I really want to, you know, incorporate more in my playing and with Wilderun is throwing in jazz, you know, fusion chops in there.
You definitely hear it. I think that's what's one of the great things about Wilderun and bands that you're in the same type of musical space is you're not pigeonholed to playing one certain style of drum pattern over and over and over. You can really get out there and experiment and have fun.
Yeah, and it's lucky I've found myself a project that allows me to do that.
So moving on, this is part of the show where you can actually help us program. Let's talk a little bit about, you talked about your drum influence, but what band influenced you? What was your first metal band that really made you go, this is something I want to do?
When I was 10 years old, I was showed Liquid Tension Experiment, which is a side project of Dream Theater. I actually got into the Liquid Tension Experiment before Dream Theater. So that's like the first, like Acid Rain was like the first metal song I ever heard. And that was the song that kind of like, I don't know what he's doing, but I want to do it.
Wow. That's a good one. That's a good project.
Yep. Yeah. I always go back to that.
You always hear people
say,
Slayer was my very first band or something like that. But that's very interesting. I like that.
Yeah. My band is just full of a bunch of prog nerds, honestly.
So I'm going to let you program here a little bit. If you could pick a classic influence band and then maybe something new that you're really digging into recently, and we'll go ahead and play that.
Okay. Well, I guess the classic influence would have to be the Acid Rain by Liquid Tension Experiment.
Let's get into Liquid Tension Experiment, and we'll be right back. So we're back to the show. The album comes out on Century Media on July 17th. But I'll be honest with you. This was in my top 15 albums of last year. I'm glad it's being re-released and it's being, you know, able to get out there to more people. How does it feel working with an album that you've been with for about a year now?
For me, it's kind of interesting to listen to an album that you've had in your head. I mean, actually, it's been much longer than a year for us because we recorded it mm-hmm. and sat on it for about a year while we were shopping labels. So it's been on my phone for about 2 years now. As you listen to it, as you, you know, rediscover what you did 2 years ago, you start to think, oh, I would have done this here. I would have done this here. I mm-hmm. should have done that better. You know, it's kind of like I'm still really proud of it, but I still wish I could go into I wish I could go to the studio a year after every album and just redo it.
Right.
Yeah.
Did they just take the original masters and the artwork and everything, and are they just re-releasing it that way? Or did you have any new ideas you tried to get into it?
They were pretty much down to take it as is and re-release it. I think we had this cover, Iron Man cover, Seventh Son of a Seventh Son, sitting, you know, in our archive. And actually, that was recorded when we recorded Sleep at the Edge of the Earth. We had the drums recorded, so we thought, in order to like make an extra push, you know, to like build buzz and maybe get people into thinking about maybe buying the album again, but from Century, we decided to include that into the new release. So if anything, they just wanted to add an extra song. That was the input.
It's pretty good. I mean, I'm interested in hearing that now. It's one of my favorite tracks.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. I think people are going to enjoy it. It's like a good homage thing. We don't do it exactly like it is, mm-hmm. but it basically sounds like World Around playing Iron Maiden. I mean,
that sounds perfect to me. You mentioned earlier that you guys were on one of the 70K cruises. What is that experience like?
It was crazy. I've been kind of describing it as basically metal summer camp, but like off the planet, because you're in the middle of the ocean. You have no real connection to the outside world mm-hmm. because you have no phone signal. So it's like, metal summer camp, but not on planet Earth.
And what year did you play?
We played this year. It's kind of interesting. We were kind of contacted fairly last minute about it, so we kind of had to scramble to get on there. And it's kind of interesting. The cruise happened, and we get off the cruise, mm-hmm. and then a month later, coronavirus is starting to become, you know, get in the news, and it's like, wow, just a month later, we probably would have stuck on that cruise.
Yeah, I've seen some YouTube videos of people like stuck on cruise ships for months and months. Does not look fun.
Ugh. No. I mean, even if it's a fun metal ship, you know, too much of a good thing can be a problem too.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Going back to your live performances, what are your past touring experiences been like? And are you looking to get on that one big tour when touring does happen again? Let's preface that. And who is that band you really want to go out with?
Oh man, the band that we always agree on as you know, a unit mm-hmm. is, if we could ever get on a tour with Blind Guardian, we'd love it. Oh. Obviously it would be nice to tour with Opeth. I don't know if they would want to tour with us, but Blind Guardian and Opeth would be great to tour with. We have tours planned ready to go with the, you know, the Century Media deal. More opportunities are coming, and this has been, I don't know how much this has been announced, but we've been cleared to talk about it. There's a European tour in 2021 with Soilwork and Nea Bleskaris.
Oh, wow. And that's a mighty fine line.
Yeah, and in fact, and it's really exciting. We actually, we, you know, we saw Soilwork on the boat around 70K. So it's kind of interesting how we shared a cruise with them, and now we possibly will go on tour with them. And it is confirmed, but I'm also worried about, you know, the coronavirus issue and being, I mean, currently if the tour were to happen next week, we wouldn't be able to do it because the European Union is not letting American people travel there. Yeah. So I'm just hoping, you know, something changes by this time next year.
Yeah. Or I guess that's it. I hope so, man. 2021 is going to be better. We'll just put that in the universe.
Yeah. Let's put it out there.
So what is the writing process for the band? How long does it take to go from a concept to a completed project?
Well, what has happened in the past, is Evan basically has all these things demoed out, and then we kind of, you know, put our touch on it, to make it our own. That was the case for Olden Sleep and a bit of the case for Veil. But we're actually changing up our writing process a bit moving forward. He has the songs demoed out, but he's taken all the scratch drum tracks out, and I've been able to make drum parts without having, you know, incepted, you know, there's no influence there. I can just, like, truly create my own drum parts. And this time, usually the metal band part is done, and then orchestrations are made. But this time, we're kind of doing it in tandem. So, moving forward, there might be more of a synergy between the metal and the orchestration part. So that'll be interesting to see how it goes. Unfortunately, I have no idea what goes into that whole orchestration stuff. I just hit stuff with sticks.
Right. Yeah. So it sounds like you guys are thinking about writing new music. Are you working on it right now?
Yeah, actually, I live in North Carolina, and the rest of the band lives in Massachusetts, except for one member, Wayne, who lives in California. And I am actually up in Massachusetts right now, in order to work on the material. It's all basically fleshed out, but there's some things that we need to change. So, yeah, we're working on it currently.
Very cool. Any hint you can give us on it yet, or?
It's proggy, and it's going to be, it's going to be wacky, I think. Proggy and wacky.
That sounds great to me. You mentioned you are from North Carolina, but, most of the band is from the Boston area. What are the two metal scenes like in those areas?
In North Carolina, there's a fairly healthy metal scene. We actually, one band that we tour with a lot, good friends of ours, Aether Realm, they're from North Carolina. But it's, I can say I haven't really experienced much of either scene. Cause my experiences with metal have been going on tour and seeing other bands, you know, while just going around the country. And when I lived in Boston for school, it wasn't until my last year that I was even able to get into the bars.
Oh.
The drinking age.
Gotcha.
I don't have the best view or visibility to the metal scenes in either town. Maybe that reveals a you know, something lacking in me. I guess I should get out to more shows.
Yeah, once everything opens up, it's a good thing to do. I'm looking forward to some more metal shows, man.
Yeah, same. I think I'm going to take advantage of the ability to do so.
Yeah. So you mentioned a little bit about the European tour with Soilwork. Is there any talks about anything in America once things start to clear up?
We're attempting to set something up. I think the main thing is finding a booking agent that has the right connections in America. Like we've gotten the European scene. We've got our contact now with Century Media. But yeah, we're kind of shopping for what we can do in that regard. And I think we probably need to. We might end up with like an isolationist American metal scene out of pure demand because we can't get any European metal over here.
Right. I'm looking forward to, being able to see you guys live eventually.
Awesome. Yeah. What part of the country?
I'm in Texas. I'm down here in Houston, Texas. So.
Oh, cool. We actually played Houston, on our last tour.
Did you know?
No, not last tour, second to last tour. Yeah, we played there with Aether Realm. And it was a smaller show, but it was still pretty fun.
What'd you think of the Houston area? Hot?
it was hot, yeah. And the place we played was a little divey, but it was a fun time.
Very cool. Let's go back to the album a little bit. So the album was mixed by Dan Suano and mastered by Jens Brogren. What was it like working, having those legendary metal guys working on your album?
It's honestly a little surreal because Dan Suano is like a personal favorite of mine.
Yeah, me too.
And it's
he's such a nice guy too.
It's kind of that's the thing. Like you can tell through the emails that I've never really talked to him voice to face to face, but in the emails you could tell he's like a really genuine dude, and who just loves what he does, and so that was really cool. And he it really seemed like he took a personal interest in it, in the project too. There's a bit of a conspiracy theorist in me that thinks that maybe we got noticed by Century because Dan was, he's involved with Century, or he has a couple projects that have, been involved with Century. So like, I don't know if that's confirmed or anything, but I wouldn't be surprised if that had a bit to do with it. To go back to him being a super nice dude, he just posted our stuff on his personal page today. So that was really heartwarming to see. And as far as Jens mastering, I actually didn't really, I wasn't personally involved in any of that. Mm-hmm. So, I wouldn't know how to, speak to that.
Very cool, man. Well, one of the other podcasts that I do is called Metal Geeks, where we only not just discuss metal, but we talk about other geeky topics like video games and films and comic books and stuff like that. So I'm asking you, what do you geek out on besides metal?
Currently, I have been getting into Warcraft lore.
Oh, very cool.
It's funny. I don't even play World of Warcraft currently. I played it a couple times, but I just picked up one of the books from the novel series, and I'm reading through Rise of the Horde, and I'm really just digging. Being able to get into the, politics and conflict of a world that's not our own, it's a bit of an escapist kind of thing. So I've been getting into that. Let's see. As far as video games, the thing I just played through was Doom Eternal. That was
I played through that too,
a
man.
Fun game.
It was brutal.
Yeah,
awesome. It was a lot harder than the last one.
Oh, I didn't play the first Doom, but yeah, it was like you play not even the boss set, like battle, like just sections of the game are just like, I got to play this through this 30 times before I'm actually going to beat it.
Exactly right.
It's pretty insane.
some of the platforming stuff you had to do was pretty crazy.
Yeah, and like a little challenging to figure out.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, John, it was such a pleasure to have you on the show, and I encourage everyone to go check out Wilder Run. The album is called Veil of Imagination. It's out on Century Media on July 17th, but you can pre-order it still now. I'm looking forward to hearing the Iron Maiden cover personally. I can't wait to hear that.
Yeah, also, thanks for having me. I'm really excited about that Iron Maiden cover. I think people are going to like it.
Awesome, man. Well, are there any last minute things you'd like to say to your fans out there?
Thank you. Thank you for lending your ears and, you know, hang in there. This COVID-19 situation really sucks. And yeah, hopefully we can all start enjoying life again soon.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you coming on the show, and have a great one, man.
Yeah, thank you.
Keep it metal, man.
Save it. my eyes and feel such hate. Will the darkness I hold become my fate? The sun is so far away from my grasp. Will its flame still remain when illusions of light fade so fast? Show me one thing. Show me one thing. Never the rest. Yet still all things. Yet still all things. Still everything.
For listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.